The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Welcome once again to It Came From Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me, I have Hassan Godwin on the phone.
Some say. Oh, all right. Where am I today?
Let's see. Where are you today? You are, you're infiltrating the people that hacked Sony. You're infiltrating their building to try and find out who did it.
I'm in South Korea.
Yes.
In North Korea.
Well, it's allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
You're allegedly in South Korea. he's allegedly in one of the two Koreas.
All right. The infiltration is not really going to do so well if they can hear me talking to you on the radio.
I didn't say you were a good infiltrator.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
And I also have our very own senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino.
How you doing? It's like I've been sitting here forever. Huh?
Yeah, the whole time.
Listen, I went to the chiropractor. Listen to my neck. Huh? Did a great job.
Oh, my God.
If anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us any live audio streaming. Also on the WGBB website, you can see us live on a high-definition camera. Or if you have that spy equipment, you can see Hassan infiltrating...
No, do not point me out. I do not want to be captured by the North Koreans. Thank you very much.
Well, who do you want to be captured by then?
Nobody.
Well, but let me ask you something, Mark. Why do you always have to have Hassan in a place?
Because he's not here.
Okay, there you go.
If he's not here, he has to be somewhere.
Everybody got to be somewhere.
Right.
So Charlie, I saw a picture of you on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You had hair.
Oh, yeah, was it the Beatle look?
Yes, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was the greatest picture I have ever seen.
Yeah, there you go.
You should have seen the video.
There you go. It was...
You look thrilled. You look.
Yeah, well, that's the day I just graduated high school. We just got out, me and my cousin, just got out of 4 years of pure amazement.
Fun.
Yeah.
And the whole beauty of that was we graduated on the lawn. No chairs. We were just on the lawn. And after we graduated, we smoked it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, we did not do that.
Views and opinions.
But, yeah,
but they could be. They could be.
But, yeah, John Adams in Ozone Park, Queens, was noted for, like, if you did your 4 years,
right,
the best you could do for graduation is graduating on their lawn. It was very beautiful.
Oh, okay.
And it was like in the front of the school. And it was very prestigious to do that. So we got the morning graduation, which was at 8 o'clock, and all our friends who had the afternoon were laughing at us. So we graduated on the lawn. The afternoon it poured. They had to go inside and graduate.
That's karma for you.
That's karma. You go, 4 years and not even graduating on the lawn. There you go.
So they had to stay back one more year.
They had to be in the gym. Yeah.
To repeat the year because it rained.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the clause.
Yes. Yes. That was it. But yeah, Hassan, could you believe that?
No, it's a fantastic picture.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic picture.
And let's not forget, 145 pounds. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, like, notice the suit. It's like really flat, not the way it is now, like with curves in it and bulges.
But it's good, though. It's a good look for you.
It's
being a senior
look.
Correspondent is a good look for you.
It's a good look. It shows that I'm worldly.
Yes, it shows experience.
That's
it
what
shows
they call
that
it.
You are the senior correspondent.
They used to call it fat. Now that's worldly. He's a worldly guy.
So let's take it away with the news.
All right.
As you are well aware, they are the official show of the Big Apple Con, and they're going to have another convention coming up in March of 2015.
The Big Apple Con saved us from Belmore Towing. Right?
Yes.
They won us in a bidding war.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, okay. They won the bidding war for Belmore Towing. The Rat Bastards at Belmore Towing, remember.
Rat Bastards.
But the guys at the Big Apple Con are not Rat Bastards.
No.
They're going to have a convention in March celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Big Apple Convention. And the headliner is going to be none other than the Power Ranger, Jason David Frank, who's super popular right now. More popular than he was when he was on the show, which is kind of weird. And also, I want to mention, before we get to the real news, that next week, friends of our show, the Carol and Paul, the ladies from the Magical Garden, their special is going to air on the 21st at 1 p.m.
Everybody
Eastern
watch
Standard
that.
Time. So it'll be on before we air. So you can watch their show and then come back and listen to us. Because they were really
right.
great guests last week, and we want to promote them as much as we can. So for more information, go to www.carol.com. And we go to the sad news.
Wow, that was like you shifted gears like a 10-ton Mack truck there. Really, call him here. And we go to the sad
news. Well, I'm being sad for the sad news.
All right, well, you didn't have to go right to the sad news.
No, it didn't.
Actually, Hassan told us that we have to start with the sad news because there's nowhere else to go but up.
Then it has to be right.
Actor.
Yeah, cause I'm the one doing a radio show while infiltrating North Korea.
Yeah, you're multi-talented.
Of course, I know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. Actor Ken Weatherwax died following a heart attack this week. Ken is best known for playing Pugsley Adams on the original Addams Family television series, later voicing the character in the animated series and playing Pugsley Sr. in a TV movie, Halloween with the New Addams Family. He was only 59.
I hate hearing that stuff.
Yeah.
No, I mean the age when they, you know.
Oh, they hate hearing that they died. That's just as
no,
bad.
No, but dying is bad, but at a young age,
yeah.
Like, you know, our fans are probably young. He was old, but, you know, not to this correspondent.
So more sad news.
Ralph. Tough week.
Ralph Baer, B-A-E-R, widely regarded as the father of the video game industry, had also died this week. A renowned inventor and holder of over 150 different patents, Ralph's most famous work was way back in 1969 when he designed the machine that would become the Magnavox Odyssey, which is the world's very first home game console.
I had one.
Of note, Ralph's family fled the Nazis during World War II, and in 2006 he was awarded the National Medal of Technology by President George Bush for his work in pioneering for the video game industry. He was a spry 92.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
8 years away.
Yep, but at least he got to meet a president.
Yes,
that's true.
He did. That's true.
So he got the award for being
and
the
president.
And he probably said,
give me the letter
Trumped
now.
The letter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me the letter now.
Right? While he met the president. Right, Hassan? I would up for getting the letter right when I meet the president. You know. Yeah.
That's,
I agree.
That's
yes.
funny.
Yes.
That's really funny. All right, so moving on to more happy news. Let's see what they got here. while rumors of a potential movie sequel continue to swirl, Bill and Ted are definitely coming back in a new 6-issue comic book series. Executives say,
executive is coming.
Following the time-traveling historic epic of excellent adventure and the turbulent life and death of Bogart's journey, Bill and Ted must now fulfill their destiny as the inspiration for galactic harmony. How can someone hate the wild stallion as much as the evil Chuck Dynamos? With the power of time travel, Bill and Ted set their sights on turning a young 20th century non-heinous attitude into something most outstanding and metal. Featuring
Excuse me.
Yes.
That is Chuck Dynamos. That's how you pronounce that.
Chuck Dynamos?
Dynamos. They eat Dynamos correctly. You cannot talk about Chuck Dynamos and not get his name right.
Sure I can. I do it all the time.
No. But I'm usually
it's
not
it's
able
what
to
I do.
You.
I wrote a song with that name in it.
Matter of fact, last week when I had the name right, I was told it was the wrong name and I changed it.
Yeah, stupid you.
Well, I didn't.
Why would you listen to me?
Because you would have seen your correspondent.
No, and let me explain why. I got. I'm not even going to mention what, but let me explain why. Because I was listening to a tape of a radio show,
right.
And that's the way.
So they that mispronounced host,
they
it.
They mispronounced it. So I thought it was right because it's like when I read the post, it has to be right. It's in the post. Yeah.
You all know? I'm saying is it's Denomalos.
Right.
I've seen the movie a billion times. Trust me.
All right, Denomalos.
We don't want the nerds after us. Denomalos. That's bad. They never go away.
So the series will launch in March, the 6-issue comic book series. There you go. Bill and Ted are back. Hooray.
Yay.
What is the big deal with the movie coming back? Why? It's been 20 years. Why are we having another Bill and Ted sequel? And why is everybody acting like it's another Matrix movie? Like it's a big, big deal. Very strange to me.
Because people love that crap. That's
crap.
That's what right. It is.
Well, nice, no. Nice talk.
Yeah, well done. I'm convinced.
Dumb and Dumber 2, you know?
People love that crap. Gotcha.
Yeah.
People love gotcha.
Speaking of people loving that crap.
Mr. Segway.
Writer and director, and first-time director Robert Orci, has exited the chair for directing Star Trek 3. While only rumors are abound, the only confirmed fact is that he will stay on as producer, but he is no longer directing the movie.
I'm so upset about this.
Of note, Robert had also left working on a Power Ranger movie to work on Star Trek 3, and now he's just the producer of the Star Trek 3 movie. So that's interesting. That's really.
I think it's because he sucks. But
really?
That's... Who knows?
Who knows the real reason?
Yes, the desk of Hassan Godwin thinks that Roberto Orci sucks, actually. That's his full name.
Oh.
I read an article also about it, and he basically himself explained, although I do not have direct quotes, so we have to take this all with a grain of salt, that it was not creative difficulties or differences that caused him to leave, but he left for other personal purposes. So,
all right, then.
Figure out what that means.
That's from the desk of
article left.
That's from the desk of do your own research.
Exactly.
All right, so
I'm happy though because I have personal feelings about him,
yes.
Which are strong.
Yes.
Is there a follow up to that?
Well, there's another new item that's connected to it, but not really.
No, I want to know if the other news item that you think that you have is the same one I'm thinking of.
Probably not. I'm going to say almost 100% that it's not.
Okay.
All right, so do you want to have a Desk of a Song Goblin news item for us?
I will if it's not the same as yours.
Okay.
So you go ahead, and if it's not the same, then I'll save my news item.
Okay, so speaking of Power Rangers,
after
the abysmal Power Ranger 20th anniversary crossover, as we mentioned, the social media forced the network, in theory, to make the unedited version of it, which was 45 minutes long. Turns out that the Power Ranger producer, Jonathan Zakor, has been fired off of Power Rangers and is being replaced by longtime producer Judd Lynn. Of note, Jonathan had been working for Saban for years before Disney bought the property in 2002 and then reteamed with Saban when the rights were bought back in 2011. So now the producer is fired off the show because of the negative feedback of that 20th anniversary special. You know, producers are in charge of the money men, and they wasted all that money flying people into New Zealand and giving them no lines and nothing to do, and no fighting. So they just showed up. They spent all that money, and the ratings and the negatives to be so bad, they fired the producer off the show.
Well, here, out of that whole story, here's what I got out of it. Could you imagine growing up and going to school with a name like Zakoff? Yeah, thank you, audience. All right, carry on. I wasn't listening.
Woo!
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
That's a pungent odor right there.
That's all Charlie heard. I was telling about how the social media, I heard Zakoff.
It was like, oh, you said Zakoff.
So, but that's amazing about the power of social media, how well, you know.
Oh, come on. When you screw your job up, you get fired. That's all.
But,
yeah.
You know, the thing is that the screwing of the job is that, you know, obviously it's to make money. Obviously it's a kid's show, but it's not the kids that are complaining. It's the, you know, the teens and the people who grew up in the show and the adults, the whiny,
angry keyboard warriors of the internet are all the tweens to 20-something, and they're never happy about anything. So, like, we're all going to lose our job as far as they're concerned, because we're all dumb and we all can't do it as well as they could do it, even though they're all sitting in their basement, you know, looking at a computer screen all day long. So that's how it is.
All right.
I'm not a surprise.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
And that George Lucas didn't even see the trailer.
Yeah, me and George Lucas.
They got George Lucas removed from it, right? He removed himself from the equation.
Yep.
He's not got no part of it. Now they come back and they go, "Hey, George, did you watch the trailer?" And George's like, "No, because I'm not part of Star Wars anymore, and I want to just see it when it comes out in the movies," which is a great answer. I want to be surprised when it comes out in the movies. And now they're mad about that. George Lucas turned his back on Star Wars. You're idiots.
Me and George were good buddies now, because he and I are probably the only two people in the entire universe that has not seen, and people who aren't born
here.
You're
yet a newsman, though. You're
have not seen.
You're a social media person. You're not supposed to not see things. You're not supposed to take a stand of that stuff. You're supposed to be neutral.
Well, I'm taking a stand.
Yeah, I know. And that will cost you. That'll cause you ineffectiveness.
So,
trust me, Hassan's always right.
Yes.
What's going to be your final word?
Hassan was right.
Exactly.
Speaking of Star Wars,
Segway.
actor Mark Hamill, who we interviewed in 2012, archives are up on our website, kingfamilio.com, will once again play the trickster.
You can hear Hassan silently having a nerdgasm in the background of that interview.
I will never forget that for as long as I live.
And you know what's funny about that? I just listened to that interview yesterday, and I'm thinking, what a great interview that was.
Why don't you?
Yeah, it was. I listened to it yesterday because I was transferring things on
the file, right?
Yeah, the flash file. And I just stopped and I listened. And that was a great interview. Go to the archives. Listen to that.
Yeah, it's www.kingfamilio.com. You can look it up, and it's on there. We interviewed Mark Hamill, and he's going to play the trickster once again on the Flash series, the new Flash series. For those
the new Flash series has a lot of alumnus from the old Flash series.
Correct. Awesome. For those of you who don't remember, Mark played the villain of the same name during the 90s Flash series on CBS. The executives say, in this new iteration, the trickster is an anarchist terrorist, con man, serving a life sentence in Iron Heights to help Barry and Gordon. Barry.
Oh, wow, God. You just screwed that up. So
I did.
Wow. All right. We won't tell anybody. Go ahead.
And Detective West to foil the citywide attacks of a wannabe trickster eagerly following the original's deadly footsteps. The episode will reunite him with John Wesley Shipp's character, who also went up against him in the original Flash on the CBS version. Of note, as Hassan alluded to, Mark will be the third actor to appear on both the original Flash series in the 90s and the current one. John Wesley Shipp, who played the original Flash, plays Barry Allen's father, and Amanda Pays reprised her role as Dr. Tina McGee just this past week. So it's, you know,
she did.
It's
kind of, I actually saw that.
Yeah, they're big fans, you know, of obviously of the original. They pay homage to it. They pay homage to the comic series, and they're really trying to get as much as possible.
You know, John Wesley Shipp, I mean, that Flash series, way ahead of its time,
yes,
because of, you know, way ahead of the superhero, the live-action superhero boom that we are in the midst of right now.
Yes.
Not always, kind of unfairly compared to Batman at the time, which was at the time the only other live-action iteration of a comic book.
Correct.
And panned somewhat because it was trying to do, you know, a DC character is pretty hard because you have those iconic costumes. But a lot of them don't really work as well in real life.
Right.
You have millions of dollars behind it. So, you know, the costume and the show got a lot of acclaim, but a lot of grief also at the same time. But it has passed the test of time because it refuses to be forgotten, you know, 20 years later in our lifetimes. And now that they've redone another show, you figure maybe, you know, the way things used to work in Hollywood, they'd want to sweep that under the rug and pretend it didn't exist. But
right. They're
embracing it. It's really fantastic. It's wonderful.
And the original series had the Danny Elfman score, so I guess that's another reason why it tied to the Batman, and of course he had the muscle suit, which is also tied to Batman.
Right.
But the thing about The Flash at the time was, at the time, it was the most expensive hour-long show ever produced. And so much so that it would air on Thursdays. And the funniest thing was that at that time, The Simpsons was at the starting its peak of its popularity. So it was, they had to move the show to 8:30. So it was probably the only hour show that aired from 8:30 to 9:30 because they didn't want to go up against The Simpsons and The Cosby Show, which is at the same time on Thursday. And they moved it because they couldn't air at the 9 o'clock show because that wasn't the family hour. So it was kind of a groundbreaking show in many accords, but being the first, one of the first shows, was there any other shows, Charlie, that aired at an hour-long show that started at the half-hour mark, if do you remember?
I remember that, yeah. And that drove me crazy because I thought I was going crazy because nobody ever did that, aired, an hour show on the half-hour mark. But I remember those because they absolutely drove me crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, they were in a bad position to begin with, and it was the most expensive show ever, so they had to justify those ratings, and it's just going up against The Simpsons at that time. Like, why would you do that?
It was harsh.
So there you go. let's see. Here's a bit of news.
One second.
Oh yes.
The slight piece of news that I had
from the death of Hassan Godwin. Yes.
Yes, from the death of Hassan Godwin. There was a hashtag called Bring in Riker. Okay.
All right.
It became well known that Orci was no longer going to be directing or helming the Star Trek III proposal. There was a huge movement to bring in Jonathan Frakes, who is well known as director of Star Trek Insurrection. Star Trek Insurrection, also Star Trek First Contact, the year before, and his directing skills are well loved and appreciated. So everyone thinks it's a great idea to bring Jonathan Frakes in to direct the third Star Trek movie, the third reboot Star Trek movie, and Jonathan Frakes as well. Thinks it's a wonderful idea, He's very much, he thinks it's a long shot that he's going to actually get the assignment because he's old regime. But he thinks it's a great idea, and he's looking forward to it, and he encourages his fans and all the fans of the show, if they're interested in that, to support it. So that was the follow-up piece of news that I had read in the same article that I had read that Orci was removed from the project.
So that's why
I wanted to know if you had that information.
No. So what's the hashtag again?
Bring in Riker.
All right, so everybody on Twitter, hashtag Bring in Riker, one word, and then people will know that people want him to come in to direct Star Trek III.
Wow, what a shocker. Star Trek III will have continuity. Yeah.
Well, the storyline for Orci's proposal of Star Trek, the original, or his Star Trek III, is kind of out there. I don't think we have time to go into it, but citizen journalists speculate that's why he was removed from the project in the first place. he had some kind of outrageous, like, time travel idea. They were like, okay, let's get rid of this guy. But that is not the official reason why he's gone.
Right.
We do not have the official reason. So we're not stating that.
Could you imagine when he proposed that, and it was like the boss from Office Space. Yeah, right. We're going to need you not to come into work ever. Yeah.
So speaking of things being still in development.
That's a segment.
How does he do it?
In the footsteps of Gotham, the TV series Gotham, Warner Brothers and DC Comics is now developing a new Superman show called Krypton. Executives say the show will take place on Krypton long before Superman was born and a planet was doomed to blow up. This drama follows the Man of Steel's grandfather as he brings hope and equality to Krypton, turning in disarray into one worthy of giving birth to the greatest superhero ever known.
Okay, so Gotham and Gotham and Krypton, I will go on record now, are officially death knelling the end of the comic book phenomenon, the live action comic book phenomenon. Because they're really telegraphing their their desperation punches right now. We don't have anything. We've got nothing. We've done Superman on television before. We've done Batman on television before, badly. we've got nothing. So
get your scraper and go to the barrel. Let's see what we can come up
with.
Yeah,
I mean, they did Smallville. How much further back in Superman history can you go?
Here's the thing I want to mention, that Charlie was just biting at the lip when I was mentioning this, and he's dying to say something. So what did you want to say?
Read what you just read about Krypton.
And I got to find the paper again?
Well, in general, you said
it was about
executives said
it would take place
long before Superman was born
with the grandfather.
Before the planet blew up.
Right.
I want to see them do Krypton after the planet blew up. That's what I want to see them do. Since they made that ridiculous statement, like people didn't know it was going to be about the planet before it blew up.
This is what I'm saying. Everybody gave Star Wars a lot of heck because everyone was like, we know how it ends.
You didn't have to say that. Life on Krypton. You know, planet blew up. Maybe I watch Airplane much too much, but of course it's like the end of The Wizard of Oz when she melts the witch. And they say, Dorothy, anything you want. Please, can I have the broom? Here, and take it with you. No, take it with you. Of course she's going to take it with her. Here, and take it with you. No, I just want you to mount it on the wall where I melted the...
See, here I thought Charles was all upset about the premise, but he was more upset about what the executives said.
The executives...
But Halle Atwell, like Agent Carter show is coming also.
Yes.
But they just showed her old and senile in The Winter Soldier. So I was like, well, that's kind of ignominious. If you're gonna base a superhero, television show on her and her ability to, her endeavors to build S.H.I.E.L.D. in the first place. But then you show her like kind of undignified and drooling in the latest Captain America movie. It's like, well, I guess it doesn't end that well for her. And Krypton blows up. And Gotham goes to heck.
Yeah. Right? And also, remember, Hassan, a very important fact, that everybody on Krypton is not on Earth, so they're not superheroes.
No.
Right?
No, exactly. So no one's going to have any superpowers. They're all going to be dead.
They're all the same. They just have weird names like Jor-El and Jerry Curl. I don't know. They all have those names.
And Zakoff?
Zakoff. That would be... I'd watch it. I'd watch it if it was like Emperor Zakoff.
Before we go to our break, I was asked to ask you a question, Hassan. Are you still watching the S.H.I.E.L.D. show?
Yes.
Do you find it to be getting better than it was when it first started?
I think season 2 is probably 50 to 100 times better than season 1.
I also have been watching the episodes from when I stopped watching it, which was when everybody said it got better. To now, I'm about 3 episodes behind, and it got better. I'm like, wow, the people are right.
I got to watch it.
I think it got better because it took out a lot of the juvenile joking. A lot of that stuff is gone. They're dealing with the actual drama of the situation that they're facing instead of these like really quippy comebacks and goofiness.
It's still there though. They have a little bit of it, but not as much.
You need humor because it's kind of bleak. After Hydra took over all of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting thing, I have to say.
Right.
So we're ready for our break there, Brian. We'll be right back with KFN Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
We'll be right back.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
Give them two tests. And we are back. I came on the radio. This is the official show of the Big Apple Con. Joe's Mark Torres speaking along with our senior correspondent, Charlie Stellino, who almost told the dirty joke on the air.
No.
What? I would and never Hassan Gawin on the
who doesn't have a title, even though I've been here for 10 years.
Yeah, okay. you don't have a title.
I don't have
a title. Ghetto Ninja? You want to be Ghetto Ninja?
What?
No.
Ghetto Ninja.
No.
Oh, God.
Okay. So this week we're going to be...
I think it should just be the Traveler.
The Traveler.
The Vortex Traveler.
I'll take the Traveler way over Ghetto Ninja.
They use Vortex every drop of a hat now.
All right. So
we have an Arctic Vortex now.
A Vortex Traveling Traveler.
Yeah.
I am the Traveler.
You are the Traveler.
Traveling correspondent.
So this week we're going to be talking. Usually everybody has a year-end review around this time because we're close to the holidays. So we also have our little.
Well, we are imitators, and we will do the same.
Well, we're jumping ahead of the time, and we're talking about the best, worst movie of the year, best movie of the year, worst movie of the year, and an honorable mention for all the movies that you've seen this year. And it's a giant list in front of Charlie, and he has a lot of movies that he has not seen, which is amazing.
Great. Nobody told me about this, so I have no list.
There was an email. I sent the email.
Yeah, but you saw more movies than I did, Hassan, so you're better prepared for this than me.
I got no email. I will tell you this right now. There was no email. I check my email every day.
Didn't you get the email?
I got the email.
See? There was an email.
I didn't get an email.
Well, it's there. So,
no, it's not.
What we usually do. So I guess Hassan gets to go last. So we'll take a round table first. So you want to go first, Charlie, because you have the list
like
right in front of you?
Like I have the least?
Okay. Yeah, the list in front of you. What was the best movie you saw this year?
The best movie I saw so far this year was Fury. I thought that was an unbelievable movie. I thought the acting in it was incredible. I thought the art directions, the scenes, everything about that movie was, I thought was great. So that is my favorite movie. And it actually, these people actually, you believe they are in Germany at that time. It's just such a believable movie. And it was incredible. It was incredible.
Let's see, for my best movie of this year, and I've seen a lot of movies. Working in a movie theater, seeing tons of movies. So I say The Raid Part 2. Was a very well-done action movie. It was a great sequel to The Raid, which is a very small movie about some cops that infiltrate a gang's hideout, and then there's like a little more mystery to it. It's completely in Japanese, so it's subtitled. But what made it really interesting is that the action scenes were stuff I had not seen in years. There was a fight scene I had not seen the likes of since Lethal Weapon 3, which was Mel Gibson, Danny Glover versus Jet Li. So it's 2-on-1.
It was Lethal Weapon 4.
Lethal Weapon 4, thank you. So in this movie, in The Raid, they had the same thing. They had a 2-on-1 fight, and it was a great fight. And then the sequel picks up right after it. The same level of intensity, the same level of action, and the story improved on it. It was a pretty long movie. And for an action movie, and it was really interesting. The characters were engaging, and they paced it out so well that the action didn't mesh with the dialogue, so you were able to read what was going on and still enjoy the movie completely. And it's a part of a trilogy because, you know, the movie did so well the first one, and now they're going to make a third one, but it was very good. So The Raid Part 2 was my favorite movie of the year. Hassan, did you have a favorite movie this year that you can think of?
The Raid Part 2 is a sequel to Raid Redemption. Right?
Yes, yes.
Just to clarify for everyone, I saw Fury also, and I think I agree with Charlie. It's a fantastic movie. I can't call it my favorite movie of the year because I have literally seen Guardians of the Galaxy at least 10 times. So I'm thinking inadvertently that has to be my vote as the greatest movie for 2014. Personally.
Wow.
Just because I've watched it. I don't watch anything that often.
I know.
So I just keep rewatching it. So I think Guardians of the Galaxy is a fantastic film. It's a fantastic space adventure. We haven't had a great fantasy space adventure in that caliber probably since Star Wars, and I'll explain why. It's innovative because it kind of breaks a lot of the tropes of the genre. It breaks a lot of tropes of comic book adaptation genre, as well as the sci-fi fantasy, because it's not real science fiction, genre. And mainly it does that through its soundtrack, you know. It's a really great movie. It's got great characters. It's got a great beginning, a great middle, and a great end. There are flaws to it, I'm sure, because there's flaws to everything, but if they're not blaring, I don't see them on a regular basis. And if I did note any flaws, it would not have stopped me from enjoying the film in and of itself. So I'm going to call my favorite movie of 2014, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wow. I didn't really care for that movie, so it's amazing that he loved it so much.
I got to see it now.
Wow. All right, so worst movie, Charlie. What's the worst movie you saw this year?
Skyline.
No matter how many
bad movies I see, that is the worst movie. So if you want to say what movie was I disappointed in this year, I can answer that. Skyline. No.
3 years
it was
running.
Actually, I loved The Conjuring so much. I thought that was such a great movie. And the doll alone scared the hell out of me. And then they put it back into the thing at the end of the movie, the glass showcase.
Right,
the glass case. Then when I saw the coming attractions for Annabelle, I says, oh, I got to get to this. And dolls, why can't I talk? Rented lips. If I was ever on Fear Factor, I would eat the bugs. I would eat the intestines. But if they put me in a room
with
porcelain dolls that walked, I would say, keep your 50,000. I can't do this. Take it easy. But so I was very excited to, you know, see that movie. And then I went to see it, and I was just so disappointed in it.
Wow.
They could have did so much more. They went through the history, and it's really, it's documented. So it's a true, but so was the Amityville Horror, and they went all crazy with that. If they had to give you really what happened there, it would be like this, like Annabelle. But they doctored that up. So doctor away on this, because it was just the scary parts were scary. And they could have just did so much more. But the story, in other words, it was few and far between.
Right.
The story was just like, just overtook the whole movie, which you wanted the scary parts to. Because they really had some great scary parts, but then they went away. And then before another part came, it was like The Conjuring. It was like boom, boom, boom,
right.
One after. But this was just very, very disappointed. The story was too long and dragged out, and not enough scary parts, which, again, they did well. And I heard they're coming out with an Annabelle 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, which would be The Conjuring 3, I guess.
I'm once again surprised because I saw Annabelle and I thought that it felt like a good old-fashioned horror movie. In the old-fashioned horror movies, as you do remember, not a lot of stuff happens, but you kind of it had the feel of it, and I kind of was with the characters and how they're doing and like this little stuff that happens to them that was really cool. But I felt that I enjoyed the character development and how they reacted to these things, and I felt like I was watching an old-school 70s horror movie.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that, but again,
I think that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've even if I saw that
back then,
I would have, you know, like maybe said, you know, again, I'm not saying they didn't scare the hell out of me.
It wasn't
enough. They needed more. They needed more. This is now.
Right.
You don't make one of these movies now.
Yeah, that's
you
very
know?
True. Very true.
It's like because you know I can even say, oh, reminded me of all. But it's still to the people today, to the kids today, they're going to want, you know, like Psycho. Psycho was a scary movie
right
back then. It's still, when you see it, the parts are eerie and they're
creepy. But yeah.
Today, they would have to really
ramp it up. All right.
You know, yeah.
My worst movie of this year, without a doubt, was Haunted House Part 2. That's the Wayans Brothers quote-unquote parody of haunted movies. I've never seen a movie where sometimes when I'm at the theater, I watch movies in parts because I can't, you know, stay to watch the whole movie working late at night. So this was one of the movies that I had to force myself to see the rest of the movie to find out how it ends. And it took me like a course of 2 weeks to watch this movie because it was just so painful. The jokes were so unfunny. I heard a lot of it was ad-libbed, which is to their detriment because, man, they do not know how to ad-lib a movie at all. I'm sitting there like, this is just painful to watch. It's sad when you're watching a comedy that's so not funny, that's kind of makes you nauseous. That's how I felt just watching. It was like so nauseous, just, oh, my God. Just everything was just so bad and so unfunny and so like, you didn't even care about anything at all. You know, loving stupid comedies, as you mentioned, Airplane, you know, you got to introduce the characters and wacky stuff happens. And I guess they consider wacky stuff happening, but it wasn't even entertaining in any way, shape, or form. It is probably the worst movie I've seen in a long time, and I've seen some pretty bad movies. It was just so bad, and I think because the week before I had just seen Planet of the Apes and how good that was, and that just made it that much worse on how terrible that movie was. So Haunted House Part 2 was the worst movie of the year.
And I actually saw the Planet of the Apes movies. That you just reminded me.
Yeah.
But I still, I as much as I loved that, I still will put Fury over about it. Yeah.
What about you, Hassan? What's the worst movie that you saw this year? Oh, here we go. I know what it is.
Come on. I bet you can guess.
Does it have to do
Skyline.
With something with Michael Bay?
Oh. Well done. First shot out. Transformers Age of Extinction, easily. I don't know if it's the worst movie. I don't know if it's the worst movie of all time. It's absolutely, certainly the worst movie I've seen this year. And it could be in the running for the last maybe 2 or 3 years. It's just, it's become so bad. I mean, it started off bad. So imagine a bad smell that already has got you on your knees the minute you smell it for the first time. And then it's to the extent where it's literally taking the life out of your body, you know, a couple of years later.
That's how I felt with Haunted House. Just sucking that. Ugh.
I don't even bother with the Wayans movie. So I'm sure Haunted House or whatever movie to that effect would probably have taken the number one spot. But I mean, it's just so bad. I mean, it's, you know, these movies are very popular and they're very successful. So that means we're just going to suffer more of them. But it was, I mean, Age of Extinction is just terrible. Absolutely terrible. I mean, I just don't care about, and I don't know any of the other Transformers that were in the movie other than Optimus Prime and that fake Megatron.
And
then say hi to your mother for me.
I think what's interesting about Transformers is that had I had not seen Haunted House, that would have been the worst movie. But because Transformers 3, in my opinion, was worse than Transformers 4, remember I said how it just kind of just made me numb to Transformers 4?
Yeah.
That might be why it's not the worst movie.
The first time we watched, it wasn't G.I. Joe, it was the Transformers.
Yeah.
We watched it, because you kind of, I will admit, I enjoyed the first G.I. Joe movie. I didn't think it was a good movie. But I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was good. Let's get the differential in there. But I enjoyed it. We were watching the first, and I remember, you know, like we were watching it at the movie theater, and there's a lot of times the kids come out of there, and they say, after I'm sure the consensus of all of us was, this was the worst thing we've ever seen, and the kids would come out going, wow, it was great, wasn't it? Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So I was certain that I was going to be the minority, if not the one and only detractor in the Transformers theater that night. And I remember you turning around to me, and you went, I'm so sorry. And that's when I realized, oh.
Yeah.
Other people are experiencing how bad this is.
Because it was late at night, and you're like, oh, yeah. I don't want to get up to see this movie and stay up late. And I'm like, I'm sorry, man. I'm real sorry.
But it was, it was Transformers. We had to. You know, you had to, especially the first one, you had to. Yeah. But by the fourth one, I mean, like, the fourth one, as one of my favorite things is, statistically, you should have accidentally gotten one right by now. just you know, by the law of averages.
A broken clock is right twice a day.
Yes, and it's still terrible. It's just terrible. So yes, Transformers: Age of Extinction, by far my worst movie of 2014.
All right, Charlie. Honorable mention. Do you have any honorable mentions as to a movie that if they can't see the best movie, second best, second worst, what do you got for us?
Well, like I said, Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes, second best.
It was such a close. I've loved the new Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
And it was so close. But this was, this Fury went over there. But I will definitely honorable mention for Planet of the Apes.
Honorable mentions, I have two. Since you already said it, Planet of the Apes, which I totally agree with, was a very good movie. It's far surpassed the original. I was amazed how they did it again. The Legends of Oz, the Dorothy Returns, the cartoon, it was a really good family movie, and I haven't seen one of those in years. I'm not big on the cartoons, and I felt that it kind of, in a weird way, fit into the Wizard of Oz trilogy, which would be The Wonderful World of Oz with James Franco, Wizard of Oz with Judy Garland, and then this one is like a sequel, kind of, sort of. If you actually watch them all together, it kind of does fit into place, and I actually did sit there and like, wow, this is, you know, this is brings out the kid in me. I really enjoy that one. And the other one I want to mention was 22 Jump Street. Once again, another sequel, and it far blew my mind of what it took the original, and it just made a parody of itself, and it went to the furthest extreme, making complete reference to itself in the movie. And they kept on saying, you know, they had to take another case, which is just like the last case, just like exactly like last time. We wanted to make sure it's exactly like last time. They kept on stressing that fact over and over that it's exactly the same, but different with more money. In the movie itself, I'm like, this is hilarious. This is really cool. And then, of course, they actually got the ending, which is, not to ruin it, but they really went all out with just playing upon themselves and bringing back, you know, the guys. Like in the original one, they brought back Johnny Depp, which was blew my mind. I didn't know he was going to show up at all. And he just took that another step. It was really good honorable mention, 22 Jump Street. What about you, Asana? Honorable mention, best or worst?
I have three.
Ooh.
Two of them, I have a third one since the two others have already been mentioned. The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, fantastic film, or Dawn, one of those two. Like, whichever one of those two came out in 2014. I think it was Dawn, wasn't it? Dawn of the Planet
Dawn,
of the Apes.
Yeah, Dawn, because Rise was the first, because they really, and then so it's the Dawn, yeah,
Dawn
then it's going to be
the
Twilight, and then it's going to be Vampire
Hunter. Fantastic movie. And it's just really flawless, just beautiful, and Charlie's already mentioned it. I want to also say Fury, because it's another fantastic movie. That was Charlie's number one. It gets an honorable mention, but since no one said anything about The Equalizer, just recently saw, and I was surprised. I thought I would like it, because I liked Denzel Washington, I liked it, you know, but I was really surprised at how, you know, it's a really good movie, really good, solid movie. I was really a huge fan of the original television show that came on in the 80s, starring Edward Woodward. And I watched it every week, and it was just an important part of my growing up. So I figured I would watch The Equalizer and not really get the, you know, I enjoy it. I didn't think it was going to be a bad movie, but it just really wouldn't feel right. But it really does take its own life. It becomes its own thing, and it works really well. It's really great. That's probably my primary honorable mention for.
But they didn't have the theme, and that lost some points.
No, they did not have the theme. That... I know, and I put that on Facebook. I put that theme on Facebook.
Yeah,
it'll never be great because it'll never have this theme, and it does not have the theme. And I agree with you. And I wish they could have fitted in somehow, but they couldn't.
At very least, they could have put up the credits or something, and you had to have Eminem singing instead.
Miami Vice did that with In the Air Tonight, and that didn't help that movie at all. You know? So, I mean, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like I said, it took its own kind of, it took a life of its own in its own way. So I was able to separate it from the TV show, although I could see the ties to it. So I was able to very strongly enjoy it.
And with The Equalizer, I have to say, as I've been saying for years, it's very hard. I mean, Denzel has to he has to work hard to be in a bad movie because he's such a good actor. Like, he just raises whatever movie he's in, he just raises it so much. And putting him, even with just for a short couple of scenes with Chloe Grace Moretz, I thought the dialogue and the interaction between the film was great. Yeah. I was upset that there wasn't more of that, but she served her purpose.
Yeah, she kind of, without no spoilers really, but she kind of comes and goes very quickly in the story. I did think the story was kind of cliche like, you know, what set him off. It's like, oh, okay, I guess.
Right.
You know? But it just becomes, and then also Martin Sokas, who plays the villain.
Yes.
Who I've loved in a bunch of other movies, including Kingdom of Heaven and Aeon Flux and Lord of the Rings and Xena from 20 years ago. He's a great villain. He's a fantastic actor. He's a great villain. He was a great heavy. And it just worked. The film works. The film really works. So that is very strongly my second favorite movie of 2014.
Yes, Charlie, go see that movie because I know you didn't see The Equalizer, right?
Yes.
There was one scene where the bad guy, where him and the bad guy were having an interaction, but it was like such a smart dialogue. The dialogue was sharp, and it was going back and forth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, they're sizing each other up in this unseemingly normal conversation. It's very well done.
A lot of tension.
I do want to mention one thing that I've mentioned a couple weeks ago. Everybody should go see Sharknado 2. It wasn't in the theaters, but everybody got to go see Sharknado 2. I got to mention
that. And everybody be prepared for our not really movie, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Monkey Killer.
Yes, see, that will be the best movie of next year.
Yes, that'll be 2015. Not at all. It's never coming. It's not going to even happen. Best movie of the year.
Unless I win the lottery. Then it'll come.
Yeah. Then it hasn't happened.
Yes.
And everybody go YouTube that commercial, Piranhanado. And I told you that Carcamer, whatever commercial was, when the piranhas were flying around, that was hysterical. But yes, I do have a final thought.
Yes, for the end
of this show.
Yes, Charlie.
I want everyone to write to WPIX to get the Magic Garden back on the air. And if PIX doesn't take it, then I think Nickelodeon should take it because it would be better or equal to anything, any learning, children's learning show they have on now. It was such a great show. It should keep going. The kids need it.
I totally agree. Agree. Final thought?
I agree with Charlie. That's my final thought.
So don't forget that the special will air at 1 p.m. next week on the 21st of the Magic Garden. And also, if I remember correctly, they said it was going to air on their website, px.com, 3 times in a row. After 1 o'clock, so 1, 2, 3, right. And then after that, you still can see us, listen to us at 4 o'clock next week on the show here. See, so make sure
we'll be gushing about it.
Yes. So that about does it for this week on It Came From Radio.
Does it really do it
here and every week on WGBB, the official show of the Big Apple Con? If you miss any part of the show, you can go to our website www.itcamefromradio.com and like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at ICTFR. And we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.